Hey, church, how are we doing this morning? How many of you are excited about Jesus today? Come on. Wow. Hey, if I haven't introduced myself, I'm Pastor Rick, the lead pastor here at Bridge City Church, and we are one church in four locations, and typically on a Sunday, how this works is I'm in pretty much a different location every Sunday at one of the Bridge City Church campuses, and I get to be with you today. Come on, I'm excited about that. And I'm so thankful that you're here. And here we have a series that we're in entitled Good News. How many of y'all could use some good news? Yeah, you live in the same world I live in. Come on. And we are taking a walk through the gospel, which means good news, the gospel according to Mark, one of the gospels. And so we've been just kind of going chapter by chapter. In the text that we do, we're going to just go verse by verse and see what we can learn about Jesus. Now, how many of you have ever been in a very trying, desperate circumstance? Okay, I think just about everybody at one time or another. And when you are in one, it reveals a lot. See, circumstances like that will either cause you to run to God or away from God. And you got to decide what you're going to do when you're in the midst of those circumstances. One of the most desperate times I've ever had in my life is, I've been thinking back on this message about desperation, was a time when at 14 years old, our daughter was diagnosed with cancer, and she did two surgeries, and then she had some complications, and she was in the hospital at 15 years old at this point, in the hospital, bad fever, big neck swelled up, and Natalie stayed the night with her in the hospital. I got a call that morning. I was getting our other four kids up and out of the house in the morning, and Natalie called with a desperation. She said, the doctors are with her right now. She was having, I'm not going to get all the details, but she was having a serious event going on. She said, you got to get here right away. When you live in Monroeville, there is no easy way to Oakland. That's not happening. And that trip between Monroeville and Oakland was one of the most desperation cries of my life. Because how many of y'all know when your kids they need something, how many of y'all know you're going to get it? I know all the moms out there, you better raise your hand. Come on, you're right? I mean, I guess if I was a mom, I'd probably jumped out of the car and ran down the middle. I mean, that's probably what would happen. And I'm saying that complimentary. And I remember sitting in traffic just pleading with God for her life. Because at that point, I didn't know what was happening. Natalie just said the doctors are all with her. They're all in there. And by the time I finally got there, I didn't know what I was going to find. But miraculously, she was doing better. A long story short, the doctors didn't know what happened. But 2 days later, she was absolutely fine. And so they went from very confounded to, thank God, we had a touch from God. And it had nothing to do with me. It was all about Jesus. That's all I know. All I know is she was really, really sick and had one of the highest fevers I've ever seen. And she got healed. Come on, somebody. I mean, and that's all I knew. And I pleaded with God. And some of you have similar stories. You know what I'm talking about. And that's what really the story is about today. Two different people in Mark chapter 5 that pleaded with God. And they pleaded with God because they were in desperate circumstances. And there's people in the room right now. There's some desperate circumstances going on in the room right now. There's some desperate people in the room. And I take that very seriously. I take the word of God very seriously. And I'm believing that over the next about 30 minutes here, you're going to see the word of God in a whole new way. And God's going to meet you right where you're at. How many of y'all could use just a little bit of that this morning? Come on. And so here we go, Mark chapter 5, Jesus is traveling in a boat, he's about to get out, and there's crowds of people watching for him. I mean, wherever he was going, cool stuff was happening when Jesus showed up. Cool stuff, people were getting healed, and stuff was going on, and I imagine all the people on the shore, like, Jesus is coming, Jesus is in the boat, Jesus is in the boat, he's going to come here. I mean, could you imagine the excitement? But there was one guy there, Jairus, I can just imagine, and you're going to see the story in a moment, he had a little bit of apprehension. He's like, Jesus is coming, and I really need him. Well, everybody else is kind of excited what's going to happen. He's like, will he notice me? Will I get his attention? What will happen when Jesus shows up here? And so verse 25 excuse me, verse 21, Jesus got in the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. And then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her and heal her so she can live." So here we have Jairus. He's a leader in the synagogue. He's a religious leader. Now, most of, not all, but most of the religious leaders at this time actually made fun of Jesus and tried to get people not to follow Jesus at this point. You have to follow the story. Most of the leaders did. They didn't like him. So for Jairus to show up, a leader of the synagogue, a prominent, wealthy guy, to show up and ask Jesus something when he was the one talking against him, most likely, because that was like the overarching thing going on, that was a pretty big deal. But how many of y'all know when you're desperate, it don't matter? How many of y'all, when you're desperate, you're gonna do whatever it takes? Am I right? And that's really what was going on here. And my daughter's dying. So he presses through. He kneels down here. And you can imagine him as a parent of a child. Like my daughter's dying. Like, come and help her. Like, please. His only daughter. Mom's home at the bedside. He left because he knew Jesus was going to show up. And he's like, "Help her, Jesus." Verse 24, Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. And a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she's gotten worse. So here's Jairus, finally gets Jesus' attention. You can imagine the apprehension, am I right? There's a little apprehension. There's a little nervousness. Like we got to get there now. And so they're going here. And a woman, there's this woman in the crowd. And most of us who have been in church for a while, she's known as the woman with the issue of blood. That's typically the subheading there. That's typically it here. And she suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding here. So this means that she was a social and religious outcast. Like, socially, she wasn't allowed to participate with other people. She wasn't even allowed to touch somebody else. As a matter of fact, if she would sit on this stool, that stool would be unclean and nobody else could touch it until it was cleansed properly. If she would put her hands on this table, just like I'm doing, that table would be unclean. If she bumped up against you by accident, you were unclean, according to the Old Testament laws here in Leviticus chapter 15. And so she's weak. Can you imagine 12 years weak, alone, isolated? I mean, you can imagine what she's feeling at this moment. I mean, many people, even in church, I hear this so often, like, "Hey, I'm just lonely." I mean, because we can be in a group like this and still feel lonely, am I right? This woman took lonely to a whole new level because there was nobody for her to talk to, nobody for her to be around, nobody for her to even communicate with here on a regular basis because she was unclean. She was separate. She was completely that way. And most likely, if she was married, her husband would have divorced her because he wasn't permitted to touch her. And according to ancient writings, you were allowed to divorce your wife in this case as long as you paid the ransom price for her. So that means she would have gotten like a what we would consider a big settlement of money, and so he could divorce her. So she's alone, isolated, rejected, a social and religious outcast, okay? And all these things against her here. And not only that, she spent all her money on doctors and remedies, and can you imagine the prescriptions that she would have had with no copays? Okay, no copays, prescriptions galore, trying everything. Can you imagine at her house all the bottles of things that she purchased? And she was broke. That means she probably spent everything she had on trying to get healed, and nothing worked. Not only now is she a religious and social outcast, isolated, alone, rejected, now she's poor. And she has nothing here. But in verse 27, she heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Now, I want you to picture this, a woman who's not allowed to be in a crowd. And in Matthew, this story is written in three different gospels. In Matthew, it speaks that she touched the hem, the fringe of his garment, which was they typically would wear a prayer shawl. And at the bottom, there was what we would consider like fringes. They were actually referred to as wings, and there's healing in the wing. In the wings here, and that's just a whole different piece there. But and so for her to touch that, that means she she had to get low, and she had to go through the crowd here. And you can imagine that the streets were dirty, and she was willing to go through the crowd. And this is probably the only way she could go through the crowd. And at some point, she had to reach out and grab a hold of the garment there. Some people say it was the bottom of the tallit, the commandments of God. And she grabbed a hold of this. And so she had to get in a very low place. She had to get humble, and she had to be willing to get down here and just grab a hold of something. So it wasn't like she just grabbed a hold of up here. She went low, and she grabbed her. She had to make her way through there. And something happened. She got healed, and immediately, in verse 29, the bleeding stopped. The bleeding stopped in 29, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition here. See, what she thought was, is if I could only touch him and grab a hold of that, I can be healed. There's desperation going on here. And something happens here. I just want to tell you something. Jesus responds to faith, not need. I want you to, if you don't remember anything else I say today, you got to remember Jesus responds to faith in him, not your need. It's not whoever cries the most or weeps the most gets him. It's whoever has faith in him. And there's people in the room right now, you don't have a lot of faith for where you are, but this is the good news. It doesn't take a lot to find Jesus. And that was really good news. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes a little bit. And God will take the little bit we have and use what we have for him. And when we feel desperate, you're willing to do anything. You're willing to get on your knees and crawl through. And she took a risk. She had to go beyond the excuses here. You know, and so she gets healed, and you can imagine something, like, you, ladies especially, you can imagine something like, wait a minute, weak, too strong, right? When healing comes in this condition, something would have physically happened, am I right? Yeah, and so here we find in the next verse, in 30, Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around to the crowd, and he said, who touched my robe? Now many people are like, who touched my robe? I don't believe that. It's like, hey, who touched the robe? Something happened. Right? They're like, hey, who touched that? And his disciple said to him, hey, Jesus, I don't know if you know this or not. There's a lot of people here. Okay, like, turn around. Read the crowd. Yeah, there's a lot of people pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? Now, Jesus wanted to know, for those of you that that think that Jesus healed everybody, I personally don't believe everybody who followed Jesus got healed. That's my personal belief. Here's a woman who had a need, and Jesus was walking by. Just interesting. Oh, I'm going to wait to heaven to find out. How many of y'all plan on asking questions in heaven? How many of you have a lot of them? Right? And how many of you, you're going to have a lot of time for Q&A? I'm looking forward to it. I have a lot, you know? I really, really do, you know? And so he's like, who touched me here? And verse 32, but he kept looking around to see who had done it. And then in verse 33, catch this. Then the frightened woman who was trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him. So she goes from down low to up to, like, now she's frightened and terrified. Why would she be frightened and terrified? Because she realizes she's unclean, and she now touched the rabbi. And she's thinking to herself, this isn't good. No, I'm serious. Even though she's healed, she knows what she did here. And it's like, You know, and she's here, and so she falls on her knees in front of him, and she tells him everything she had done. I love most translations say here, is she told him the whole truth. When you're face to face with Jesus, tell him the whole truth. He knows anyhow. Are you with me? Why are you going to tell him half-truths? Well, you know, I might have touched you, I might not have. Tell him the whole truth. So if she told him the whole truth, she probably told him the whole truth. Okay, she told him the whole thing. And she isolated, rejected, divorced, outcast. Nobody likes me. I'm lonely. I mean, come on, am I right? Tell Jesus the truth. He wants to hear it. And so this is what he's doing here. And let me just say this right now. She might be considered the woman with the issue of blood, but I want to let you know, everybody in the room got issues. Yeah. Everybody, we all got issues. Am I right? I mean, just think of the person next to you. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I mean, really, we do. But we try to hide them. And what Jesus wants us to do is get real and tell him the whole truth, because he knows. He's like, wait a minute, stand up here. Tell me the truth here. And she said what she had done. Oh, I touched you, Jesus, here. Tell Jesus where it hurts here. But why did Jesus call her out here? This would have been an embarrassment. Now, personally, I believe at this point she thought, I knew I should have left church early. I should have snuck out. Okay? And some of y'all are sneaking out of church early. Come on, somebody. She could have snuck out. She could have left, right? And she could have been thinking, man, if anybody really knows my condition, come on, we've all thought this. If anybody finds out what's in my head, what's in my heart, if they really knew me, they wouldn't want me here. And so he calls her out not to embarrass her, but to show everybody not just his healing power, but that she could be made well. And this made well is sozo. This means complete wholeness. Jesus doesn't just only want to heal her physically. He wants to give her a whole new life, wholeness and wellness and completeness. Isn't that what we're all looking for? That's what we're all looking for. And so I believe Jesus wasn't trying to embarrass her. And so we need not try to hide from God embarrassed. We need to go to Jesus. Because can you hear the tenderness in his voice? Can you hear the tenderness? When I read this, I think of Jesus, very tenderhearted, loving, caring. Not like, oh, what's your problem? Why didn't you have faith? Why didn't you just, no. He wasn't trying to embarrass her. He was trying to bring her to a place of healing. And there's people in the room here, we're embarrassed and you're hiding from God. And Jesus is saying, don't hide from me. Don't hide from me. Don't be embarrassed. Don't go that way here. Daughter. She went from nameless, no identity. Her only identity was her issue. And there's people in the room right now that you think your identity is your issue, and it's not. She went from nameless to daughter. You see, if she would have left early, if she would have tried to sneak out, she wouldn't have got the tenderness, the love, the father of the heart of Jesus saying, daughter. in the New Testament, she is the only one referred to as daughter. She's the only one that gets this title of daughter. That's a precious, complete statement. Because that's the tenderheartedness of Jesus. That's the tenderheartedness of him. That's what he says to her here. And daughter. So he's taken her identity, which was sickness, and he's saying, no, your identity is not sickness, and your identity is not outcast. Your identity now is you're mine, you're my daughter. That's what God's saying to some of you today. I'm taking you from where you were to somewhere different, a whole new relationship, a whole new connection here. And why did she get healed and some people not? This is my thought. It's a thought. Everybody's bumping into Jesus in the crowd. I mean, it's a big crowd, so people are bumping into him, right? But those who bumped into him didn't get healed. Those who reached out and grabbed a hold of in faith got healed. See, many of us are bumping into Jesus, but we're not grabbing a hold of him. Many of us are bumping into him along the way, and we come to church, and we bump into worship songs, we bump into the Word of God, the Bible, and we bump in, but what God's saying, well, you reach out and grab a hold of, because faith is the title deed. I'm standing under the title deed that I belong to God, my Father. I'm a child of God. I'm a son. I'm a child, and I have the title deed of the Word of God. That's what we grab a hold of. The garment didn't heal her. Her faith in Jesus healed her. Because we all want a formula, and there's no formula when it comes to Jesus. He responds to faith. So you can imagine all this is happening. And go back to Jairus. This lady suffered for 12 years. His daughter, the 12-year-old at home, sick and dying. And he's like, this lady's important, but my daughter? Am I right? Some of us get in line for prayer. We get in line for healing, and we're struggling because, like, hey, everybody else, I know they got needs, but hey, Jesus, what about mine? Why are you stopping for her when my daughter is at home and I came for you? Come on, put yourself there. There's a little tension. I don't know about you, but I'd be a little frustrated with Jesus. How many of y'all be just a little frustrated? A little bit. I would. I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not ashamed to say that there. And so while he was still speaking to her, the messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, verse 35, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter's dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. Can you believe this? Thanks, Jesus. Thanks. Thanks so much. Such a good God you are. Jesus overheard. He ignored them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Only believe. See, don't be anxious. Exchange your anxiety for faith. Exchange your fear for the Word of God. Grab a hold of that Word of God, that conviction. I know who God is. Then verse 37, so they go to his house, and Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go in with him except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So he picks his top three, and they go in. Verse 38, and when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, why all the commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. He's asleep. You see, at this point, they would have hired professional mourners to wail and cry. Because if he was a leader of the synagogue, that was very common. So they hired people to mourn. So they were paid. What they were is they were fakes. They were fake people. And they were wailing and mourning to try to add to the atmosphere of death. Are you with me here? And he went inside and asked, why all the commotion and weeping? Yeah, she's not dead. Like, she's just asleep. And can I just tell you right now, there's commotion in many of your lives, and you got to leave the noise outside. You got to leave the noise outside. There's some noise, chattering. There's fake people around you. You got to get rid of the fakeness. You got to get rid of the fakers and all the noise and all the this and the that. You got to get rid of the distractions. Are you with me? How many of y'all reach out and grab that one right now, huh? Yeah. We got to get rid of that stuff here. And then the crowd laughed at him. They go from mourning to laughing, just like that. That's how you know they weren't serious. They're laughing at him. But he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother, and he goes up. And Talith Luam, girl, get up. Girl, get up. Which means little girl, get up. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. See, he had to get the doubters and the fakers out of there so he could get a hold. So even Jesus was like, I got to get you out so I can get to the real issue here. And she gets up and she begins walking around. And then he said what anybody would say, get her Chick-fil-A. That's what he said. Get her something to eat. Get her some Chick-fil-A. Get her a pizza. Right? That's what he was saying. Get her something to eat. And she got up there. And can I just say this right now? There's no formula, but don't question the timing of God. There's people here that you're desperate and you're needing something from God. Don't question his timing. Just grab a hold of him in faith. Faith that he's a good God and he will do what he said he will do. And I'm going to trust him in the goodness of God, even in the midst of my pain and my suffering. Jesus touches us personally and individually. This woman, 12 years of agony and hopelessness. She's poor, a nobody. She attempted to come to Jesus in secret. But Jesus is basically saying, I'm going to come to you. She gets her healing immediately and in public. That's one way. Now let's look at Jairus. 12 years of sunshine with this little girl about to be all done. 12 years of dreams for this 12-year-old girl. Gone. He was wealthy and prominent. He came to Jesus publicly. Jesus, you have to come and do something for me. And he had a delayed healing, which was done privately. Did you see the contrast to those two things? One poor, one wealthy. One prominent, one a nobody. Jesus doesn't play favorites. But I'm going to tell you my opinion. If you're looking to get the inside track, be humble and bow down. It seems to me she had the inside track. Just my thought. She knelt down. And she was willing to be low and respond in that moment. That's what she did here. I can only imagine when that woman, after she was now clean, after all those years, the baptism that she had, the water baptism that she had, I think that'd have been exciting. I can only imagine the baptism that little 12-year-old girl had. I think it'd have been pretty special. If you've never been water baptized, we're going to be having them real soon. You got to get signed. If you've never been baptized, you got to have your moment where what's happened on the inside is shown to everybody on the outside. Don't wait till you're perfect to get baptized. You'll be waiting all your life. Am I right? Be an outward sign of what's happening already here. So three thoughts here. We need to believe boldly, faith over fear. We need to break through barriers and block out the noise. But most of all, we got to be willing to reach out and grab a hold of in faith. I don't know about you today. How many of y'all could just use a little bit more faith today? Jesus never gives us more than we can handle. That's a lie. He never gives us more temptation than we can handle. But he's constantly giving me more than I can handle, because that forces me to get low and reach out and grab a hold of him once again. If you could use a little more faith in your life, just stand to your feet right now. Just stand to your feet. I don't know, maybe it's not quite as desperate as one of these situations, but maybe you have a need from Jesus that only he could do today. Maybe you have that need that only he could do. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now, just right where you are. I'm just going to pray. If you have a need, any physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, Lord God, man, there's so many hands here today, God. God, I just pray, Father, that each and every hand that's up, Lord God, all the physical needs, Lord God, the emotional, financial, relational, job, the fear, the frustration that's running through so many of us, Lord, we come to you today and we say, man, we could really use a touch from you, God. So Jesus, come now and be with every hand that's up, Lord God, physically right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, let faith arise and let our enemies be scattered in Jesus' name. God, let faith arise in this room today. Let faith in who you are, God. I grab a hold of who you are today, Jesus. So, Lord, every physical need we confess to you in Jesus' name. You can put your hands down and Rachel and Jake, come on back up here. We're going to do a song here. I'm just going to call an audible and if you're here today and you've never met the real Jesus, you've come to the right place, because he's the God that takes our pain and shame and all those other things, and he kicks them to the curb. You don't have to carry your pain and your shame and all those things with you any longer. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could have a new life with him, and we could have a do-over. We could start new spiritually. So if you don't have a day, a moment, or time when you became a follower of Jesus, where you said, Jesus, forgive me of my past and lead me to my future, today is your day. Don't let this moment pass from you. I just want you right now where you are, if that's you and you say, man, I really would like today to be my day, I want to respond to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is we don't have to carry our pain and shame around any longer. Right now in this moment, joyfully, but a little bit frightened and a little bit embarrassed and a little bit of all of those things, just like that woman. A little bit of anxiety, just like Jairus. If you've never done this before, you've never made a time where Jesus Christ became everything to you, your only way to heaven through the cross of Jesus Christ, forgiver and leader, I just want you to slip up your hand right now to say, Pastor, that's me right here, right now. Anybody in the house today that's you, anybody at all. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody at all. Lord God, I thank you, Father, that next week there's going to be a lot of people responding to the gospel. There's going to be a lot of people meeting you, Jesus. Lord God, let this place be a place where people meet the real Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And what song do you got for us? Y'all, pick up one. You don't know? Want me to pick one?
Jesus, what a Savior.
What's that?
Jesus, what a Savior.
Yeah, Jesus, what a Savior. That's a cool one. Come on. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to worship Jesus. And I know there's a lot of hands up there. I just see right now, there's a lot of people here. Maybe you just need to come and kneel down. Maybe it's been a while since you knelt down. And I know that I'm getting a little older. And when I kneel down, I have to process the possibility of getting back up. But there's a lot of young people here. And young people being anybody younger than me. So I want to invite you to come forward as we sing Jesus, What a Savior, What a Healer. Now I want you to get out of your seats if you raise your hand and come up front and just, maybe we just kneel down before Him and we do an act of worship. Can we do that together? Come on, come with me up here. And Natalie and I are going to be over here. I'm going to jump in right here. And maybe we could sing this song of worship together. And maybe if you want to kneel down where you are, you can. But let's have a posture before Him of dependence and faith in God. Not in the song, but faith in God. Hey, let's not let this moment, we're not done yet. And Pastor Eric's going to come up and close us up. So let's have reverence in His house. Can we do that together?